Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, anoint us with your Holy Spirit as we hear your word this day. Fill us with your truth that we may walk in the ways of God and to the glory of your kingdom. Amen. Our New Testament reading today is from Titus 2, verse 7 through 8. And you can find that on page 1858. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Listen now for the word of the Lord. This is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it is said, love your enemy, love your neighbor, and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that they may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Not even the tax collectors do that. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. We ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth may be something that I can live into, and we may all live into your example as Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So when I was a young seminary student in my second year, I interviewed for a summer internship in the western part of Virginia near the beautiful ski resort Wintergreen. That's right where I was out of. And after my interview with two of the congregation members, I was pretty sure I did not want that job at all. But the pastor later called me. He said, Gray, I hear you're our man. And I said, what's that? I'm pretty sure I bombed that interview, and I really wasn't interested in the job to begin with. He said, well, how about you come out and meet me, and we'll see if it's a good fit. So my grandfather and I drove out to Wintergreen, met the pastor, and ended up really clicking with him. And I ended up taking the job and spent the next 2 months learning the ropes of ministry, right? Because in seminary, they fill your head with all this information about theology and the history of the church and all of these things. But what they don't teach you is what it actually means to practice ministry the day-to-day grind of being in the office, going out into community, doing budgets, arranging tables and chairs. Anne will tell you that she wishes that seminaries would train their ministers also to run a small nonprofit. Because basically you have to know those things, right? And it's a lot of stuff they don't teach you in seminary. They just go, you'll figure the rest of it out. And that's part of why they send you on an internship. So that you get actual training, actually doing what ministers do day to day. And so with this pastor, over that summer, he showed me what ministry at a small church looks like. He gave me a model to imitate, a foundation to build on going forward in my career as a pastor. He was someone I could copy and go forward and say, I'm doing what a pastor is supposed to do, right? Now, we all need these people who are willing to go out of their way to show you the ropes, to give you the wisdom that they have learned. As young people, each of you has probably at one time or another sought out people to imitate, someone you could copy until you figured out your own style and your own viewpoint. They could have been teachers, relatives, celebrities, musicians. For me, I loved Michael Jordan, right? I'd be out in our neighbor's basketball hoop. I'd be like, I just loved it. It was great. Michael Jackson, loved his music. Thought it was pretty awesome. I loved his dance moves. Ow! You know, kind of stuff. I used to love that kick. I never knew he got his legs up that high. But whoever your role models were, they provided you with a roadmap, a direction to place your energy, something to imitate, right? But here's the thing about role models. They're not always very good examples. Michael Jordan turned out to be a gambling addict. Michael Jackson turned out to be really creepy. His music's still great. Got it. So, but role models can shape your ethics, your morality, the rules you live by, and there's plenty of people in the world who are willing to show you the ropes of a lot of bad things, right? A lot of people out there willing to show you the ropes of selling drugs, scamming old ladies, stealing cars. Those are some exciting ones. Or, generally, how to just be a bad person. And adults have massive influence on children who are around them. The Bible would call these people bad shepherds, willing to lead impressionable people astray. And I'm willing to bet that each of you have had at least one bad shepherd in your life. In high school, we had this English teacher who was kind of a space cadet. And I mean that in the most loving way, space cadet, she was. And she just wouldn't remember stuff. And there was a few of our students in the class who would try to convince good old Millie, that was her name, Millie, that she had failed to tell us about a homework assignment or a quiz. They would try to use her forgetfulness, her space cadetness, to try to convince them. And let me tell you, after that worked one time, the whole rest of the class was on board. And boy, would we sell it. Oh, Millie, you didn't tell us about that. You didn't, oh no. You said that was due Thursday. Now, I'm not going to tell you whether this pastor participated in such bad behavior, but the point I want you to know is that role models can go either way, right? And it seems like as humans, we're always on the search for something new, somebody to lay out a clear, coherent way to live and think. I think about this for me. I read books or I'm listening to podcasts. I'm always listening for somebody to enlighten me a little bit, to show me new things, show me new ways to live my life, somebody to imitate, right? I'm thinking about that all the time. When I get into a person, I get a little obsessed with that person. I start to read everything they wrote or listen to everything they're saying, and they go, that's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow that person. And I think this is why we really just want someone to offer us a way. And that's why we turn to arrogant politicians. We turn to long-winded TV political commentators, yelling televangelist preachers, inspiring motivational speakers, athletes who are willing to offer you the way, the truth, and the life, and some of them are willing to give it to you for a $10 a month subscription fee. It's a pretty good setup for them. We imitate them. We follow their lead as if it's gospel. We need to be careful, however, about the influence these people have on our lives and the values that they are endorsing. Because as Christians, we of course are called first and foremost to imitate Christ above others, to start with God, Christ's words, actions, His love, His Spirit. Everything has to pass that test. If your role model, whoever it may be in your life, does not help point you down the path of Christ, it may be time to change that role model. It may be time to reconsider whether that role model is someone worth following. But what does it mean to imitate Christ? Jesus lays it out pretty bluntly in the Sermon on the Mount. Love. Love the Lord. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. And just in case you thought you were going to be able to love so purely, Jesus throws in at the end of that paragraph, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," to remove any hope that you could love that purely. And yet, our way is the way of perfection, the way of the greatest love that Christ offered. And I was thinking about this week with perfection, because in our world, perfection's pretty rare. I think of sports. Perfection in my favorite sport, bowling, is what? Who can tell me? 300 game, right? Now, there's been a lot of people bowl 300 game, but it's still pretty rare when you see it. Got to throw 12 strikes in a row. That's hard to do. Hole in one in golf, right? Hole in one. That's a pretty big deal. That's perfection in the game of golf. Perfect game in baseball. Who can tell me what that is? What is it? No, it's not only a no-hitter, it's also a no-what? No one getting on base at all. 27 up, 27 down. Now that's rare. There's only been like under 30 of those in Major League Baseball. And so I was thinking about perfection, because it's rare. It's perfection's rarity that makes it special. If everybody could just bowl a 300 game, no one would care about perfection, right? This is not special anymore. Perfection is special. Perfection is unsustainable. Because outside of Jesus, I don't know anyone who can live a perfect life. I don't even know what a perfect life looks like. That makes no sense to my head. What's a perfect life? What does that look like? I don't know, except for what Jesus did. But yet, we're called to seek out these moments of perfection. These moments where you, just for a brief moment, are able to love as Jesus loved. Where you, just for a brief moment, are actually able to imitate Christ and live into it and follow it. And to encourage others to seek out opportunities to live into those opportunities for perfection. Have you ever experienced that perfect love? Have you ever had a moment of perfection where you felt so close to God, or you were able to live into the commandments that Christ put out for us? Have you ever had those moments? I have them. They're rare. They don't happen often. But I have those moments where I'm able to say, I love for a minute, and then it's gone. It's gone. And it may be ruined the minute it's gone, but I'm able to do it. And I think each and every one of you in here are as well. That is what we're seeking. Glimpses of embodied perfection in Christ. And I'm going to admit it, just like every one of you in here, most days faith feels like I have to fake it till I make it. Right? That I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this every day. And I need to act as if I am living into it. Yet transcendence breaks through. Clarity arrives in an instant. Perfection can be lived in small moments. And when I think about role models are people who encourage others to take these risks because they themselves have dared to live out such a dangerous and outrageous love. So practice this faith. You may never know who you may be influencing. Practice this faith because you never know when you will be offered the opportunity to show life-changing grace. And practice this faith because you will, no one alive can offer you what Jesus does. Because each and every one of you are called to be a role model, to walk alongside, to take an opportunity to show what perfect love looks like. Because there's lots of bad examples out there. We can name every single one of them. We can point to them. We can point them out. We can say, this is the wrong way to live. But this is what we're called to. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love as I have loved. That's what Jesus said to the disciples that last night of the supper. The Last Supper, right before he washed their feet. Love others as I have loved you. And that is your calling this week. Live that out. And you will be a role model for others to imitate. Because you, with your whole life and your whole body, are pointing back to Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.